rest.
Welcome in. It's the Georgia Show. It's Thursday. I'm Jake Roos. He's Jake Rowe. We come to you from Dogs HQ. And the Georgia Show is presented by American Pride Bank. Great partners of ours, great friends of ours. They do a tremendous job. Get over there and check them out. They are your community bank with local bankers and local decision makers who understand your needs. They offer personalized service, flexible lending options, and a commitment to growing your business. You can visit them in Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank today. They're your community bank, American Pride Bank, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender. Appreciate their support and appreciate them being part of the Georgia Show. Appreciate you being part of the Georgia Show here on Thursday. Jake Rowe, we're in it to win it, man. Halfway through spring practice, which doesn't feel possible given all the lead up that we had to spring practice. It was so long coming, and then now here we find ourselves all the way halfway through. Midpoint is here. What has been, I guess, some of the big buzz, in your opinion, at the halfway mark of spring practice?
Well, we had mountains being made out of molehills with Gunnar Stockton smirking, apparently, at the Carson Beck question. I don't know if anybody watched that whole press conference. I think that was the look Gunnar had on his face for the entire press conference. Somebody said he looked like he had Vaseline on his teeth because he wouldn't, because he had to smile to avoid it. That's 100% correct. I don't even think Gunnar hates talking to the media. I just think Gunnar is that shy and is that kind of, you know, laid back in terms
Raven
of
County, man.
Yeah.
I've told the Charlie Warner story many times. I once tracked Charlie Warner down in high school. As far as I know, I'm the only person to ever interview him in high school. I saw him at a game in Union County, and you would have thought, I thought Charlie Warner was going to assault me for talking to him. Those guys at Raven County
gives off different vibes than that. Gunnar gives off such different vibes than that. Gunnar's like a deacon. You know, Gunnar's like, hey, you want a Werther's original? Would you like a piece of juicy fruit?
He's got some of those candies that look like strawberries, but you're not real sure where they come from.
I haven't seen one of those in forever.
You know what I'm talking about.
Totally. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. How many of those have you ever eaten out of date? I bet I ate some in the 90s so that were good. Out of date in the 80s. Yeah, they're so still good. They're great. Yeah, I wonder where you run those down at. That's just Gunnar, man. And there was nothing to that. I'm sorry. Our company wrote about it, shouldn't have wrote about it. All right. I mean, it got a lot of clicks probably, but Gunnar was not taking any sort of shot at Carson Beck or anything like that. That wasn't the case. But man, I mean, honestly, the biggest takeaway I've gotten from spring is the personality of this team seems to have changed some. And what I mean by that is, Jake, there has been so much talk from Kirby and players about how much you've got to want it and how much passion you've got to have and how much the game's got to mean to you. So much talk about that. And honestly, you know, when we were putting together the show today, I did not have any plans on talking about this. Like, I really didn't. Like, I honestly wanted to kind of just get into spring practice and kind of talk about more about, what we're hearing as far as behind the scenes stuff and maybe get to some of the stuff that we've talked about on Dogs HQ Plus in the past. But that, you know, starting to talk about Gunnar, starting to think about kind of those press conferences that we've had. We had between the last two press availabilities, we've talked to 11 different Georgia players. And, you know, between Monroe Freeling and Oscar Delp being extremely honest about the team's issues last year, and Monroe Freeling and Jordan Hall and numerous others talking about, hey, you've got to want it. Like, you've got to really love football. You got to really want to be here and do this. Drew Bobo said the same thing. And I was kind of impressed, you know, talking with Drew the other day. That has really stuck out to me. And I don't know if that's something that's kind of touched, you know, not, I don't want to say touched a nerve, but struck a chord, I would say, with you.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I like you said, I think the openness and honesty, I think we're kind of used to them moving from a place of everything feeling so pre-prescribed and, you know, everybody's working hard and we're not focused on last year. And
oh boy, they're still saying that.
I know. But I mean, but to be kind of forthcoming and say, hey, look, these were some issues last year, rather than kind of just say we're not thinking about last year, you know.
Right.
I think for them to kind of be like, hey, we recognize there were some problems and, you know, this is a new year, certainly, but we can build off of some of the issues that happened last year. To me, that's kind of been what stuck out for sure. You know, and I think also, too, one of the other things, Jake, that's really caught my eye is some great new personalities emerging. And Jordan Hall is a guy who catches me as somebody who people not only are going to love to hear from, but will get a chance to speak, you know, and is good at it, but also engaging. I felt that way about Chris Cole as well. I thought that, you know, he was another guy that, you know, very well spoken, very thoughtful young man.
Mentioning Chris Cole real quick, just to interrupt you. The reason I said that about, they're still saying that about working hard, is I went to transcribe Chris Cole yesterday and I was looking for a specific quote. And I listened to the first part of it, and he said, yeah, we're just out here working hard, you know, doing our thing. I skipped ahead, and he verbatim, yeah, we're just out there, he's really working hard. And then I skipped ahead and like heard a couple sentences, and then he went to it again. So yeah, it's just, that is built, that is a permanent part of the vernacular. You it's almost like I can see Leland Barrow, who is, you know, sports information director up there, or Mike Mobley or somebody just putting something in front of them and being like, hey. This is what you need to read. I thought you were giving me the throat slasher.
No. They're over there looking at him like, don't say that.
But it's almost like they put it in front of them. Like before, it's like, hey, you're going to need to say this about 4 or 5. When in doubt, say this.
Yeah. Are you confused? We're working hard.
Are you a little nervous? Hey, we're working hard. Okay.
Are you working hard? How are you working? Would you say hard? I thought that both of those guys though did exceptional jobs, and I think that they'll continue to get opportunities. I'll say too, man, I thought both of those guys looked tremendous in front of the camera.
I saw Chris Cole
look put together, brother.
Chris Cole was grabbing the side of the podium up there, and his fingers were reaching like halfway down the side of the podium, like massive hands on a kid. Justin Williams comes up and talks to us too. I mean, listen, we had Justin Williams on Bark After Dark one time, and right after his commitment, and I've been a big fan of his ever since. Just, I mean, I talk to his dad from time to time, just text him, hey, how are the guys doing? You know, how's it? Because, you know, his brother, Kayvon Townsend, is also on the team. And then you got Joseph Jonah Janye, who's also a big part, you know, obviously on the team as well. So they're all really tight. And, you know, I can check with Bernard and be like, hey, what are the guys up to? And the first thing he talks about is, man, Justin, you know, can't believe how good this kid is, man. I mean, he's the most positive, he's the sweetest kid. He's, you know, all he does is train and go to church and hang out with us. And it's like, it's really cool to hear that about those kids. And I think some of that connection is coming through with this team. I'm not quite excited about it yet. I'm not quite like, hey, I think this is something different. But you're right, man. Like, all the talk about the passion and all that stuff, all the willingness to say, hey, we had some issues and we've been working on fixing those. And like you said, the personalities, I like all of that. And I almost wonder if there's a little bit of a shift on Kirby's side too, if we want to get into this, which is, I thought Kirby had been extremely low key and very nice and cordial and complimentary and all of those things past couple of years. And I almost feel like maybe he's taking on the Danny Hurley side of NIL, which is, hey, guys, listen, I love you, but I'm going to coach you harder now because you're making a lot of money. I'm going to expect more out of you because you're making a lot of money. If you want to get paid like pros, we're going to treat you like pros.
Yeah, and it's too, you know, Jake, you mentioned him kind of being kind and cordial, and it feels like perhaps he's sort of just left that up to them. You know, he's saying, hey, look, I'm going to be the taskmaster, right? I'm going to be, look, we're going to run the show. I'm going to handle that. I'm done with the nice BS. You guys,
hey, Jordan Hall, come out here and make him laugh.
Yeah, right. Go charm him a little bit. I'm not doing that.
Go charm him up.
Yeah. So to me, that stuff stands out, man. I think that, you know, and also, too, I think obviously we've talked about it a million times on this show, so it's not going to be any surprise, but it's that continued buzz that you hear on some of these freshmen, even continuing through the halfway point. You're used to hearing a couple names pop up along the way, but the consistency is very telling typically around this time of the year. Elijah Griffin, Bo Walker, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, man. The Bo Walker stuff has really, really kind of it's fired me up a little bit, to be honest, because, you know, talking to guys, obviously we had a mega collection, a giant collection of insider notes over at Dogs HQ earlier this week, like over 1500 words. And it was, it always happens right after the coaches clinic, because we know a bunch of coaches and you just text a bunch of guys, you get a lot of stuff, you cross-reference a lot of information. You know, listen, if I hear about, you know, if I talk to 10 coaches and nine of them bring this up, okay, that needs to be highlighted. We need to write about that a lot. And so Bo Walker's name was mentioned by, I mean, I can't think of somebody who didn't mention him. And it's been that way since right before camp, since he's kind of gotten into shape. And I tell you what, man, it's a weird deal where I'll go ahead and say it. I had somebody tell me, and Rusty said, Rusty couldn't get on this level yet, and I can't either, but this is what somebody told me. Said they were in town last year for preseason camp, and they saw Nate Frazier up close and personal. And they said this cat was the real deal. I remember them telling me about it. They told me that they were there for Thursday's practice last week and that Bo Walker is every bit as good as Nate Frazier was in person on the hook. The every bit is bit. If not, maybe a little bit ahead of where he was just in terms of confidence and knowing what to do and where to be. So, again,
those are big words.
That's big. I will say this too, though, and I'm a huge Nate Frazier guy, and I was one of the first ones to come on here and say that first practice report, one of the first things I said is this guy moves at a different speed than everybody else. But I know the blocking wasn't great this past year. I felt like my man Nate left a lot of meat on the bone in terms of what he could have. Even as successful as he was, I thought he left some meat on the bone. So, you know, I still think Nate had some ways to go. And listen, he didn't have what Bo has had in terms of winter workouts. Yeah, they do summer workouts and stuff like that. But the winter is just, it's a little bit different. You're coming in with some new guys, and the older guys are really pouring into all of those new guys. And they spend a lot of time together. The summer's a little bit different because everybody's, you know, got other things to do. You know, there's more going on. So I think that's probably helped Bo Walker as well.
Yeah, no question about it, man. I mean, those are huge expectations to put on anybody. But, you know, it's one of those positions that, quite frankly, if you got it, you got it. And it's not necessarily one of those things that you're worried about putting a guy on the field. If he can hold the ball and find the hole, there's room for you out there. There's snaps to take.
No doubt about it. Listen, Sun Heist, we got to mention them here. We got to get them in. They've been great to us, and we're going to be great to them. Promo code DOGS gets you 20% off of your first order I think it gets you 20% off of any order over at sunheist.com. Guys, this is premium sunglasses at a very reasonable price. Lightweight frames, durable frames, lifetime warranty. Shane and Mary know how to make it happen. They're actually in the retail space now, and we'll hopefully be talking about that here pretty soon. We haven't gotten the go-ahead on it, but they're getting into retail. They're getting into stores now. They're growing, and I can't wait to get my hands on a pair of these. I actually lost my hemlocks here recently, and I got a new pair on the way. That's these things over here. The aviators are awesome. The lenses, injected polarization so that it won't delaminate over time. It won't break down. Sunheist.com. That's SunHeist if you're listening. And use promo code DOGS, DAWGSHQ20 for 20% off your first order. It's awesome, guys. And also free shipping. So come check them out. See local. They're local Athens-based business right out here just outside of Athens and Jefferson. And I don't think it's going to be long before when you travel into Athens and you head into some stores, you're going to be seeing these things on the shelf. I know people like to try on their sunglasses, but I can't vouch for them enough. They're awesome. So one more note here on the team real quick before we get going. We got the first scrimmage coming up, and we always know what's most important in the first scrimmage, and that's to stay healthy. So what's next?
How does the backup quarterback look? That's always going to be the most important thing in everybody else's mind. Is Pug ready to take this job? No, I think that, I mean, that's going to be the number one question you're going to get is in terms of the splits. You know, for me, Jake, I want to know about the depth under the defensive line, how that's looking, how that's coming along, which guys are kind of stepping up in that regard. Obviously, we've heard the things about Elijah Griffin, but are some of these younger guys kind of taking a step forward, perhaps? I hope that we can hear some of that as well. That inside linebacker rotation is super interesting to me just because of the depth and the talent they have there. I think that's intriguing. Safety also. I mean, I guess every level of the defense to some degree has some places that you're wondering about, but who lines up next to KJ Bolden, who kind of has the inside track on that one. That one feels to me like a situation we're going to have to just fight throughout, but wide receiver too. I think it's going to be very intriguing just in terms of how that group is managed. How do you feed this many mouths with all the young guys that have come in and who's ready to kind of take a step forward? You know, we talked about this the other day on the Bill Shanks show. And, you know, that idea of, right, like it felt like when Ja Jackson got into the rotation for Georgia, that things suddenly started hearing, oh, Bo Hewley really starting to, you know, trend upward. That push can be a big motivator for guys. Are these young guys at the wide receiver spot coming in and pushing some of these older guys and really kind of making this a more dynamic rotation?
You know, I'm interested to see how something Kirby said in his press conference this week plays out in the scrimmage, and we're going to have to hear about it. We're not going to see it. But, you know, Kirby said this spring they felt like maybe less so, maybe they were less effective at running the ball. We know that. And less effective at stopping the run this past year than they had been in previous seasons. I don't necessarily agree with the I thought they were worse stopping the run the year before this, but, you know, it is what it is. And most of it's been to the perimeter anyway. So, how is that going to play out in the first scrimmage? How's it going to play out on G-Day? Because G-Day is normally an air show, right? So are we going to do that this year? Or are they, you know, they're placing more of an emphasis on running the ball and stopping the run this spring? You know, I mentioned that to Gunner, and Gunner was like, yeah, we've definitely done that. You know, I think we're coming along, that kind of thing. So I wonder if that plays out in this first scrimmage. I will say that typically in scrimmages, and I think this is a, I think this is something that's happened over time. I think typically in scrimmages, they're a little run light anyway, because you run the ball. I think there's more risk for injury when you know, if you're going to sit there and pound the rock 60 times in practice, what are you doing here? You know, you do that in ball games, you do that in games to beat up on the other team, to beat up on the other defense. I don't know if you necessarily want to do that to your own football team in practice. But ultimately I do wonder if that's going to take shape in any of these scrimmages or any of the G-Day game. And I will say this, folks have asked me over and over again, well, we lost this many offensive linemen and Trevor Etienne's no longer around and you know, and all of that. How in the world can we expect Georgia to be better on offense? Man, hearing Kirby say that kind of affirms what my answer to that was, is squeaky wheel gets the grease. Kirby's got good grease and a good, you know, good gun to, you know, put it out with. I mean, he's a very good football coach. Okay. And when he wants to kind of fix something, he does a pretty good job of fixing that. And I'm not saying that as to say you're an idiot if you don't think it's going to get better, because I've got my doubts, but sure. I say that to say, hey, when you've got a phenomenal coach, when you've got maybe the best coach in the game, a coach that you wouldn't get rid of for anybody else, maybe trust him to get your issues worked out.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. And I like that squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of mentality. I think that it's one of those things from, you know, last year, like I said, you're remembering those things from, you're hearing those guys bring things up from last year. It's well aware that they were aware of what did and didn't work last year. And there was probably a lot more didn't than did ultimately at the end of the day. But you know, being able to address those issues, that's what you bring the guy in for. That's why he's here. That's why Kirby Smart is in the position he's in. So I don't necessarily have a ton of concerns just yet. To me, it's about solidity. It's about finding the pieces that work and finding.
Is solidity a word? Is solidity a word?
Yes, absolutely.
I've never heard that word before in my life. You just taught me something. I'll probably use it now. Solidity.
Yeah.
Sounds a little dirty. I'm not gonna lie.
The quality or state of being firm or strong in structure.
Yeah, I figured, just you know, using the origins of the word, I figured I knew what it meant just in terms.
Well,
now
you had me questioning it. I don't know. You're over here calling me out like I wasn't an English
teacher. It sounded like strategery.
Yeah, right. Sure. No, but I think that you know, making it all dance together. I'm not worried about the talent level of this team. I'm really not. I've heard and seen and read people on our message boards who are, and they're concerned about, oh, this is one of those things that, you know, I'm worried about the depth of the offensive line or the defensive line. I'm not necessarily concerned. I think that they have the talent, but I think it's about making all those pieces work in conjunction. To me, that's the big ask this year.
Yeah, and to me, it's also getting back to the eating off the floor. It's getting back to scratching and clawing for your playing time. It's, you know, it's dancing for your supper, basically. And it's a meritocracy on the offensive line. It's not a hierarchy anymore where, you know, and I mentioned this to Kirby, and I didn't really kind of get a chance. Sometimes when you're asking questions, you don't want to just roll out a whole, you know, hypothesis before you ask the question. I'm bad about asking questions that way anyway, and sometimes I get caught between trying to explain my question and getting the question out. But I, you know, I asked Kirby about kind of, hey, listen, you guys have kind of had this, you know, thing going where, you know, these, you train some guys and then they're the next up, and you know, then, you know, you train some guys up and then they're the next up, and it goes from you know, you go from the bench to a rotation to a starting role to the NFL, and they had that going for a bit. There's a little bit of an interruption in there right now, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I actually think it's very strong that they can get some guys to start scratching and clawing for whatever they can get, for whatever, you know, 30, 40 snaps a game or 15, 20 snaps a game. It doesn't matter. I think all of that is extremely important. And, you know, they got some injuries on the O-line. You know, Daniel Calhoun is banged up. I almost called him Dan Calhoun. That sounds like a businessman up in Northwest Georgia. Dan Calhoun has got a banged up foot. He's going to miss the rest of the spring. It's not major. And then you got Marquise Easley, who's suspended indefinitely, so they're a little lighter at guard. But, you know, a lot of tackles getting work, a lot of dudes working in there. So I'm really excited to see the offensive line on G-Day. And we'll get to that a little bit, you know, further down the road when we start talking about the G-Day specifically and what's going on there. Roos, is Georgia in trouble on the recruiting trail? You're the expert. You're the guru. You're the mastermind. Is Georgia in trouble on the recruiting trail?
No, but I understand people if you got a little bit of hand-wringing going on right now. You see the report, Jay Lamar names Clemson his leader, one of the top running backs in the country, also in the state of Georgia. You see Jordan Edmonds, five-star cornerback, commits to Alabama. So, you know, look, here's the way that I would say it. It's March, all right? It could be December 1st, and maybe you still shouldn't be too concerned with it. I mean, you know, that's just the era we're playing in. If you think that Georgia's going away in either of these recruitments, silly to consider, all right? Both of those guys.
And Jay Lamar's coming back to Athens before he makes a decision.
Absolutely. And I imagine Jordan Edmonds will as well. I don't think we've probably seen the last of him. I don't know that for certain, but I imagine that we will. This is one of those things, Jake, where we go through it every year, man. It was like this the last 2 to 3 cycles, as far as I can remember, that this time of year, people were saying, where are the commits? And then summer comes, the official visit season gets rolling. And if I remember last year, it was a little bit later. The year before, that July was like insane. It was crazy.
Oh, God.
It was unreal. It was just one after the other. And then last year, I think it was a little more August focused, if I'm not mistaken. It felt like it was a little later in the season.
The year before was late June and early July,
right?
Was just mad, and it still extended into August. And we thought KJ Bolden was going to put the exclamation point in early August, and then that was going to be it. But then the next year, you're right, it kind of bled into, you know, preseason camp. We covered a few, you know, commitments then.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, to me, that's kind of the place I'm moving from, is it's still early. You still got plenty of time with all these guys. You know, Georgia, I think to some degree, is still sussing out its targets as well. I mean, at some of these spots. I mean, those guys are definitely key among them. And don't be mistaken to think that they don't want either of those guys, or they're happy to see that, you know, Jay Lamar's added a leader elsewhere, or that Jordan Edmonds is committed elsewhere. They want both of those guys in a big way. They're after both of them in a huge way. So Georgia's going to continue to press. They know that running back's a huge need. And not only is it a huge need, this is a really good and deep year for it. That's what I love about it for them, is they've got an opportunity to go out. And if they want to take that 3-back opportunity this year, they can. Who even is this?
This is Derek Cooper.
I was about to say, I was like, I know this isn't Jay Lamar. He plays for Colquitt. They don't wear red down there.
We're gonna get into Derek Cooper in a minute. He's on campus right now. I believe it's his birthday today.
Oh boy, I feel like he runs like Todd Gurley a little.
Yeah, I mean, there's a discussion
about him there.
There's a discussion about him that's very similar to the one had about Todd Gurley too, which is, hey, you can play him at safety, and I don't think you can go wrong. But I don't know, man. I said yesterday Xavion Hyder might be my number one. Derek Cooper is my number one. I mean, Derek Cooper's freaking legit.
Make sure to get over to the dog walk to find out who's Jake Rowe's number one running back target as well.
Yeah.
Listen, Derek Cooper on campus right now. George's recruiting him hard as hell. And I, quite frankly, Jake, I think he's one of those guys. You go to him and you say, hey, man, where do you want to play? Because yeah, he's going to be able to do either one of them, and I think do either one at a very high and convincing level. He's a tremendous prospect. And, look, people forget maybe he was committed to Georgia for a brief second there. Mama wasn't necessarily in the loop on all that, so he had to kind of pull that back. But Georgia clearly on his heart and mind throughout this thing. You know, he's a Florida guy, so the likes of Miami are always going to be concerning for a guy like this. But look, you got Derek Cooper, you got Xavion Hyder, you've got Carson Baker, you got Amari Latimer, you got Jerrion Campbell, you got Will Rejecki. You've got these names kind of keep rolling when it comes to the running back room. They've got a number of really good options there, man. And I'm not necessarily concerned with how this class shakes out. To me, I love Jay Lamar. I think he's a tremendous back. Xavion Hyder and Derek Cooper, two of the best in the country, regardless of where you're looking. Like I said, a lot of strong options out there. I trust that Georgia will close primarily because they know they have to close. And I think that despite the fact that he landed Bo Walker last year, you probably got to give that win to Del McGee, not Josh Crawford. So a little pressure on old Josh Crawford this year.
Yeah. This play right here is exactly why people think Derek Cooper would be a phenomenal safety. He's about to play off man coverage to the tune of 10 yards off. And that right there is typically a, hey, throw the post route and you're done. And maybe if he lays it out there in front, it's a good one. But Derek Cooper said, nah, that he's special, man. He is a very special athlete. And there's a ton of interest there in Georgia. I do want to address something with the Georgia fan base, though. And, man, listen, Georgia's still a force. Like, Georgia, I read other boards. I read other fans' opinions and other fans on social media, and they know when Georgia gets involved, a fight is to be had. And I feel like a lot of Georgia fans have forgotten that, hey, Georgia's average order of finish in the last three classes is under two, okay? They're like 1 point something. So they're really good at recruiting. They've landed a lot of Derek Coopers and Xavion Hyders and you know, elite prospects from out of state over the years. Don't think they're too scared about going up against Michigan or Miami for guys. They're not going to get them all. They may not get Jay Lamar. They may not get this kid, but a ton of good running backs out there, and Georgia's going to recruit extremely well. They're formidable on the trail, and I think a lot of folks are kind of forgetting that, maybe because they didn't get Usmani Kroma and didn't get Justice Terry at the end of last class, but still the number two class in the country. And if I'm not mistaken, between four and five stars, 21 four and five star prospects in one class. That was freaky legit.
I think it's important, too, that we bring up some comments from Steve Wiltfong that he made on the Ari and Andy show earlier today. Basically said, hey, you know, everything he's hearing suggests Georgia has really stepped it up in a big way when it comes to the NIL department. Because yeah. – And he said he was quite frank. I don't know that I've necessarily heard the same thing, but I trust Steve's sourcing as much as I trust anybody out there. He said, from what I hear, I think Kirby thought that some of these guys were kind of full of shit about what they were getting paid, you know? And he said, so suddenly they're saying, all right, this is really what the market is. We're ready to compete within that market. And if that's really the case, that should concern people a lot because they were winning a lot of battles not moving from that mentality if he's on spot with that.
I've still got this Derek Cooper film on here on my second screen. I don't know if I heard anything. I don't know if I heard anything you just said. No, I did for sure. And I that was interesting to hear coming from Steve. And I think that's kind of dangerous. You know, that's kind of dangerous for the rest of college football. Right. I'm not one of these people I never want to be that guy that covers a team and is like, hey, this team I cover, you don't want none of it. Okay. They do things, everything right and wrong. Georgia misses all the time. Everybody does. It's the way it goes. But before NIL, when it was just, you know, kind of, hey, you build your program up and you sell kids on coming here and being a part of and getting developed to a different level. And that was kind of the focus. There was still money involved. There were still large sums of money involved with everybody, but, you know, not openly like it is now. The market's different. It's free. And you know, nobody's kind of hiding from it. I think Georgia kind of missed an opportunity there, not by anything they did wrong, but the era kind of stole something from Georgia on the recruiting front. But I do think Georgia kind of being more aggressive in the NIL market is going to certainly, put some teams at a little bit of a disadvantage when you consider that Georgia's got they've recruited extremely well without going all in with just being kind of competitive and sustainable. If this thing kind of levels out, I love where Georgia's positioned and how to go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it, man.
We'll have a lot more to talk about with recruiting as the spring goes on, because there's a quarterback situation. We got Jared Curtis making a decision in a little under 6 weeks. So that May 5th, that'll be big. Do it over some chips, cheese dip, and margs somewhere, I imagine. Cinco de Mayo. And then you got, Bo Bentley, who was just on campus. The O'Neal kid. I keep on wanting to call him Jermaine because Jermaine O'Neal. I don't know why.
The former basketball player,
Jermaine? Yeah, O'Neal? Because Jay names and O'Neal and whatever. Sure. I'll call him Brandon O'Neal, which is one of our, big time behind the scenes guy over here at Dogs HQ. He looks like he could play ball right now. I'm interested to see how the quarterback situation works out. I think Georgia's a little bit more in it with Dia Bell. Though it'll be tough to pry him away from Texas. Where are they at with Landon Duckworth? Can they get him on campus for an official visit? Will they even worry about it if they get Jared Curtis?
Right.
Those are all things I'm really interested to find out. And also the kid from Gainesville that we've been talking about. I also can keep
27 kid Kareem Hewley.
Yeah. Well, no, the other kid, the East Hall kid.
His name escapes me at the moment, but he's badass.
Yeah. Would they take him as a second quarterback?
I love his film.
I do too. I'm a big fan of his. So, that quarterback is really going to have my attention, kind of going down the stretch here. Jamarcus Harrison. Love that kid. So,
if they could get
Jared Curtis, would they also say, hey, Jamarcus Harrison, come on in, dude. Let's get something going. And, you can kind of develop here at this spot. Really, again, fascinating to figure out how they're going to handle it. Also, would like to bring up, Georgia brought on two new coaches to the staff this week, yeah. John Lilly and Phil Rauscher, who comes from the NFL. He's been an assistant O-line coach, and he's been the O-line coach at three different spots. So we've got that piece of news too. And obviously really stoked to have John Lilly back in Athens, and I'm sure he's probably stoked to be back here. He is beloved around there and a pretty good offensive mind too. Man's 2-0 as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Rauscher got some OC experience as well, actually. Holy Cross, I think it was. Dixie State and Cal Lutheran were the two. I went back and looked into his bio a little bit. So, yeah, he's got some personal OC experience. But you got to love coming from the NFL, bringing that pedigree over, man. I think that's really tremendous stuff.
Yeah, and Dixie State and California Lutheran are basically the same program, I bet. Probably real similar places.
Could you locate either on a map?
Not even close. I'd have a better chance for Cal Lutheran, because at least I'd know the state of California. I don't even know where Dixie State's at. It could be in Montana.
It's in Utah.
It's in where?
Utah.
Yeah, no chance. I would at least been east of the Mississippi.
Of course. Yeah, sure. What's south of the Mason-Dixon line?
How is it spelled? Is it spelled D-I-C-K-S-Y?
No, D-I-X-I-E.
This is crazy. I'm going to go on a Wikipedia, dive after this, find out where Dixie State came from.
Yeah.
Somebody landed in the wrong spot. Hey, we appreciate you watching. We appreciate you listening. If you're checking this on a podcast, we've probably been a disaster today, but we love being disasters. And we appreciate y'all. We'll see you on Sunday. Another Georgia show. We'll have a lot to talk about. Hopefully we'll be recapping that scrimmage. Y'all take it easy.